Revelation chapter number 3. If you would stand, would you find your place there? And go down towards the end of the chapter, verse number 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold trodden of fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You can be seated." We're thinking of this day. Thank you for giving us for. Thank you for our opportunity to be here tonight. I want to pray you guide my heart and my mind tonight and give me the words to say to help this church. Lord, I pray you help us here and help us to do something for you here in this congregation that's going to make a difference in eternity. And Lord, I pray you will be down here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My heart's burdened for the church as a whole, the body of Christ, but also our church right here. And I'm not preaching to every saved believer. I can't preach to every saved believer at one time. I'm preaching to New Hope Baptist Church. And that's what I'm here to do. I don't want to be too personal tonight, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers just for the sake of ruffling feathers, but I'm afraid that we as a whole oftentimes lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we can, and from time to time we have become complacent and comfortable in the Christian life. I started the day off today with this on my mind, on my heart, and I can't get away from it all day, and I try to, but I can't get away from it. And I'm not pointing anybody in particular tonight. The Lord started this with me and my heart, to burden my heart about it first, convicted me about it first. So I'm just passing it on to you. I'm afraid we are becoming complacent on God. Comfortable. Just comfortable doing the minimum. Just comfortable in the way we are. I don't think there's any room in the Christian life whatsoever to ever feel like we're doing enough for God. If you feel like you're doing enough for God, then I'm just going to be honest with you. You need to chuck your pride, kneel down before God and seek His forgiveness and seek what He would have you to do. The second we feel that we have arrived on this earth, the second we feel that way, we're allowing our flesh and our pride to step in. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever arrived. I've never done enough for God. There's a whole lot more I ought to be doing. There's a lot more we every one of us ought to be doing. I know what you're thinking. Well, what do you want us to do, preacher? I want you to seek after God. But how do you know I'm not already seeking after God? I believe some of us are from time to time. I'm thankful for that. But our spirit reveals what's in our heart. When's the last time, honestly, when's the last time you gave somebody the gospel? When's the last time you confronted somebody about their position in eternity? And if you have, amen, keep doing it. I don't know about you, but I haven't done it enough myself. We are more concerned with potlucks and parties and picnics than we are with getting the gospel out. I've had a couple of people ask me about going back on visitation after COVID. I've had one person ask me about gospel tracts. I don't know how many people in this church have had asked me about potlucks. I'm just giving my heart tonight. Well, that's your job, preacher, to schedule this thing, to plan this and do it, go on visitation. I agree, it is my job, but I'm not here to do it all on my own. It's a great commission. It's for every saved believer. I don't do it near as much as I ought to. I admit that. I'm the first one to admit that. I missed the mark over and over again. But what are we doing, church? I know this is personal. I know it probably made 90% of you mad at me right now, but I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to preach the word, to go with the word. What the Lord lays on my heart. If you don't like the message and take it up with the Lord, I'm just my own man. I'm not interested in leading a country club. The church without the gospel is nothing more than a social gathering. If we lose sight of that, we have lost sight of our purpose of being a New Testament church. Where's our burden for seeing the lost sinners saved? Where's our burden for giving the gospel again? Yeah, we ought to use our talents in the church. Amen. We ought to do that and thankful we get to do that. That does not remove our duty from giving the gospel outside these four walls. When's the last time you gave a clear presentation of the gospel to a lost sinner? Well, I haven't had the opportunity. Have you looked for one? Have you prayed for one? Have you looked for it? I promise you, if you seek God's face over it and ask Him for it, He'll give you the opportunity. Where's your desire to serve God? Where's my desire to serve God? Where's your desire to do more and go further with the Lord? Are you satisfied with where you're at tonight? Are you happy with what you're doing for the Lord? And where you stand with God? If so, that means you're stagnant. If you don't want to move, you're not moving, it means you're stagnant. And pretty soon you'll become lukewarm. And God says in verse 16, that makes him sick. Lord, I'm going to preach just a few minutes tonight on this thought. Are you hungry for God? Now, I know there's so much into this passage we can get into with prophecy here and all those things. That's not my focus here tonight. These Laodiceans, that was a literal church. And I also believe it's prophecy and a picture of church age. But again, I'm not going to get into all that here tonight. What I want to do tonight is look at this passage, and then we'll move into other passages as well. But we'll look in these verses. And if we look in these verses, we're really honest, we'll probably see ourselves in these verses. And that scares me to death. I'm being honest with you tonight. I already made 75 or 90% of you mad at me. I can tell. You're not looking at me. Can we see ourselves in these verses? And if we can, what are we going to do about it? The introduction, let's look through these verses real quick. See the church here, Laodicea. Some call it a foolish church, a lazy church, different titles you can give to them. Why were they that? That's the point. Why were they that way? Well, it gives us four reasons right here in this passage. Before we get to that, verse number 14, it introduces who is speaking, who is giving these, he's rebuking this church, who's giving the rebuke. It says in verse 14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Who is the Amen? Well, it's God Almighty. Isaiah 65:16 calls God the God of truth. That word truth means Amen. He's the God of the Amen, the God of truth. He is the Amen. Revelation also says the faithful and true witness. Now, who is that? None other than God. The only real 100% faithful and true witness is going to be Jesus Christ. The witness of the Father. He is the truth. He is the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. This does not mean that God was created. This means the creation that was of God. God the Creator. He's the one that began it all. This God is the one that gave him these rebukes. This God, the same one we've been preaching about over in the book of John, over and over and over again. He says he's the witness of the Father in John. He's come to do the Father's will. He tells us that in John. Here in Revelation, he's speaking to the church of Laodicea. He says in verse 15, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. He says, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. I know what you've been doing, but you aren't cold nor hot. What does that mean? He says he preferred us to be either cold or hot. What is this church? It tells us the next verse, they're lukewarm. And I preached on this passage before and dealt with that. The lukewarm church. They aren't turned away from God, so to speak, but they aren't turned toward God either. They're hiding, riding the fence. They're not doing anything, really not getting anything accomplished for the Lord, wasting their time away doing absolutely nothing for God. And God says, you're neither cold nor hot. This isn't just anyone telling them this. This is the God of heaven, the faithful and true witness, the Amen. What would God say if he spoke to us like he did this church here? What would he say about us? What would he say about me? Not pointing fingers. What would he say? Look at your own heart. What did Elijah say in the Old Testament? How long halt you between two opinions? What did Joshua say? Choose you the same whom you will serve. God is telling the church that they are neither cold nor hot. They have become blind to their condition. They have become complacent. They have become comfortable in their world. They may have a big crowd, maybe. They may have had big money and they had riches, it says. But they were dying on the inside. And it was making God sick. What would God say about us? I hope it's not that. I really do. Someone asked a pastor one time, why is it the new Christians create problems in the church? The older pastor answered, they don't create problems, they reveal them. The problems have always been there, but we've gotten used to them. New Christians are like children in the home. They tell the truth about things. That's what happened here with this Laodicean church. They had become complacent and blinded to the problems that were inside the church. They didn't see them, and they were unwilling to face the truth, and God had to point it out to them, and they still didn't listen. We're given four things here that calls their backsliding, that calls their condition. Number one, they lost their vigor for doing something for God. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In the Christian life, there are only three heart conditions that we can see in scriptures. Number one, there's a heart condition of being hot, having a heart for the Lord. Luke 24:32. And they say one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Burn with our heart, burn within us while they spoke and sat across the table from the Lord conversing with Jesus Christ. They had a heart on fire for God. Number two, you can have a cold heart. It mentions in Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Cold on God. You can also be a lukewarm heart, as we've already seen here in verse 16. It's because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. What condition is our heart in? Is it hot, on fire? Is your heart burning within you to do something for God? Are you looking for things to do for the Lord? Asking for things to do? Looking for lost sinners to give the gospel to? Are you more excited than you've ever been about serving God? If so, then your heart is pretty hot, on fire for God. And amen. Thankful for that. Maybe it's cold. You're honestly just indifferent. You don't care the way. You're just here for the ride. Or maybe you're here because your parents or your spouse makes you come. There's still hope for you, too. At least you can feel your cold. Or maybe, I'm afraid, the majority of Christians today fit into this last category, that we are lukewarm. Either on fire for God and more excited than ever before, and we aren't just indifferent either. We're just riding the fence. We have the look like we're at doing something for God. We try to act like it. We put on the show. We're still in church. But on the inside, we are dying. At least if you're cold, you can feel it. Lukewarm is a dangerous, but it's a popular place to be. The Bible teaches us to be fervent in our spirit for the Lord. It says Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That means, that word fervent means to be hot, means to boil. Our spirit for serving the Lord, Romans says it ought to be hot, boiling water hot. Can't be still. Something inside of you is moving and bubbling out like boiling water. Fervent in spirit. We're also taught to be fervent in prayer, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Our spirit for serving God ought to be fervent, and our spirit in prayer for our church ought to be fervent. This Epaphras of Colossus was laboring fervently in prayer for his church, that it would stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Is there anyone here that's laboring fervently in prayer for New Hope Baptist Church? I hope so. Not Laodicea. They were lukewarm, not cold nor hot. We drink coffee. I don't know about you, but I don't like lukewarm coffee. It makes me literally spew it out of my mouth. It makes me sick. I don't like it. And I don't want hot, sweet tea either. It has to be cold. How do you keep your coffee hot and how do you keep your tea cold? You add something in it from the outside. You add more hot coffee to it, or you add more ice to it. Going too nerdy here, but the second law of thermodynamics says that a closed system eventually moderates so that no more energy is being produced. What does that mean? That means that the hot coffee, unless something is added to it, will become the same temperature as the world around it. And the cold tea, unless something is added to it, will eventually become the same temperature as the world around it. What happened to the Laodicea in church? The word was on the outside, knocking on the door, and nothing was added to the inside of their hearts, and they had turned to the same temperature as the world around them. Lukewarm. Church, let us not leave God on the outside of our services. Let's not leave God on the outside of our devotions. Let's not leave God outside of our family and our home and everything we do. He ought to be the focus. And I've preached that over and over and over again. How does a church become lukewarm? They stop adding things from above to the inside. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If God's not being poured into us and we're going to die on the vine, we cannot do anything without him. Become lukewarm. What did the church of Laodicea do? Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The church had become independent of God. Independent from God. Independent, self-satisfied, and secure on their own. They had their money and they had their goods. But they lacked one thing. They didn't even see it. They lacked the presence of God. Church, we can have all the money in the world and be honest with you, we have plenty of it. The Lord's blessed us more than we ever deserve. We can have all the goods and we have plenty of goods here. I don't know if anybody went hungry tonight. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to look around and say, we have need of nothing. We're just doing good. We are happy. We get to come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, or Wednesday, or both. Hopefully both. We meet our friends, our church family. We fellowship. We use our talents the Lord has given us and all those things. And none of those things are bad things or not. But if we aren't careful, we'll begin to say, well, we're good. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. We're doing all we can. And we'll sit back in our easy chair waiting for the return of Christ. Well, there's a lost and dying world outside of our church building. And we have hope, and we have the hope they need. And we have need of nothing. The Laodicean church had lost its vigor for serving God, lost their desire to do something for God, lost their appetite for seeing God move. They were comfortable and had become complacent. God, help us. They lost their vigor. They lost their values. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold trodden in fire, that thou mayest be rich. Notice the difference between this Laodicean church and the church of Smyrna. As in chapter 2, verse number 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Church of Smyrna had tribulation and poverty, and God saw them as rich. Church of Laodicea had riches and goods, and God saw them as poor. The values of this church were lost. They didn't value a relationship with Christ, and they didn't value winning lost souls to Christ or spreading the gospel like they may have once done. Now they value their riches and their goods, and God says it makes him sick. How often is the focus of the modern day church on the goods that we can possess? Our building and our youth outings and our potlucks, if you will. Just the fluff, the fun, the fellowship, all those things. They're good things. Please don't misunderstand me, but they become a problem when they become the focus of the New Testament church. Our focus ought not be on the external look of the church, but it ought be on the internal workings of the church and the ministry. The ministry of the local church. Church, have we lost our values? What are we valuing more today? What was the solution God gave this church? He said, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What is that? It's persecution. I don't want persecution. I don't know about you. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, I don't like persecution no more than anybody does. I don't want it. I don't want it to come. But God said the solution for that church in particular was for them to buy of me gold. That means trade in their wealth for persecution. And then they might be rich in God's eyes. What's the point? They have to be willing to give up whatever it takes to serve God. That's a scary place to be. And I don't want that any more than anybody else does. This is what it says here. Do I look for trials and persecutions? Definitely not. I look to avoid them. I don't enjoy them. But God said that's what this church is going to have to go through in order to fix their value problem because of where they had gotten themselves. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Warren Wiersbe said this, nothing makes God's people examine their priorities faster than suffering. That's true. That scares me. I don't know about you, but I'd rather get things right, get my priorities right before the bad persecution comes. I don't want it to come. I don't want to see it. They had lost their vigor. They had lost their values. They had lost their vision. They were blind to the verse 18, the very last part of it. We'll get back to the rest. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. He tells them, the amen, God tells them they are blind. They cannot see the reality that is around them of the position they are in. They think they're a good church to be proud of when in fact they're making God sick. They are blinded to the truth of their condition. How are they blind? 2 Peter tells us a little bit how that happens. 2 Peter 1:5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He says, if you lack these things, you are blind. That's what Peter says. But if you possess those things and they abound in you, they'll make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would a church be barren and unfruitful? Because they are blind. Because they do not have these qualities in 2 Peter. And they are not abounding in them. And they have forgotten the old sins that they were purged from. That's what happens when they lay out a sea in church. That's why they were blind. God help us not forget where he's brought us from. Let's not forget the old sins he's purged us from. If we'll realize where we used to be and where we could be today had it not been for him, we will see where a lost sinner could be in the future with the gospel. The church has become so wrapped in themselves here. They were blind to the truth of what they should be doing. Blind to the lost world outside. They were even blind to Jesus standing outside the door knocking. Why? Because they're wrapped in themselves. Not concerned with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do they fix their blindness? What they ask that, it says in verse 18. Where do they get that? From God. Fellowship with God. If we're blind, how do we fix it? With the asset of the Word of God and the working Holy Ghost in our lives, fellowship with the Lord. 2 Peter gives us the solution for the blindness. He talks about all those things to add to our faith. How do we do that? Well, it's only going to come from God. Because like we said earlier, we can't do anything without Him. So we need to fervently serve God and fervently pray and fellowship with the Lord. The church has lost its vigor. They had lost their values. They lost their vision. And lastly, and I'll be done, they lost their vesture. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, that have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold trodden in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes, that thou have, thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It says in verse 18, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. The church thought they were clothed, when in reality, they were blind to it, and they were just as shameful as they would have been if they were naked. That white raiment talks about the righteousness of God. It means they're not clothed in the righteousness of God. They thought they were good enough. They were sitting pretty in the eyes of their riches and their goods. They were, the town of Laodicea was a rich place. They were fitting in with the town most likely. They had become the temperature of the world around them, lukewarm. Instead of the church affecting the world had affected the church. And they have in turn left God standing outside the church knocking on the door. Lord, help us. Let us not get so caught up in our own prosperity to lose sight of God. I don't want to be poor no more than anybody else does. I don't enjoy being poor. But I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have Jesus and silver or gold, as the song says. Church, what are we focused on tonight? Have we lost our vigor? Have we lost our values? Have we lost our vision? What about our vesture? Are we standing shameful before God? This is in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's giving the church a chance to get things right. He's standing outside the door in this passion knocking, waiting for God. He's waiting outside the door to be let in. Why did he want to come in? It tells us. In fellowship with the church. He says, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. He wanted to fellowship with the church, but the church is too busy caught up in their own selves, too busy with their own prosperity to have time for God. God help us, church. Are we hungry for God? Maybe it's just for me tonight. Maybe the Lord burdened my heart to get me right again, focused again. But I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that is a little out of focus? You feel like you've arrived. You feel like you're doing enough for God. If you do, you may want to check up. There's nothing in the world that I'd rather be doing than serving God. Nothing else I want more than being the center of God's will. Sad, that's not always been the case in my life. Honestly, it wasn't that long ago when I finally gave up and gave my life completely over to God. I've said it, I've done it before, but I put conditions in front of it. Lord, I'll do anything. Just don't make me do that. And Lord, I'll go anywhere. Just don't make me go there. Can you say tonight, Lord, here am I, send me. What's the desire of your heart tonight? It ought to be just to please God. I know we're all busy. I get it. We're busy. I understand that. But sometimes I wonder, are we busy about the wrong things? Is there a desire in your heart to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? When's the last time you did anything about it? What are we busy with? Like I said, maybe it's just for me tonight. But also examine ourselves here tonight. What are we focused on? What is your focus on? Don't worry about anybody else. Look at God and look at your own heart. Where's your focus? Where are your priorities in life? This church here in Laodicea thought they were good. But in reality, they were blind to their wickedness and they were making God sick. Why? Because God was on the outside, but they were acting like they had everything was just fine on the inside. Lord, help us. I was reading this story over there, the prodigal son. You know when the prodigal son began his journey back home to the father's house? It says when he began to be in want. What do you want tonight? I don't know about you, but I want the presence of God in my life. I want it in my heart. I want it in my walk. I want it in my family. I want it in this church. I want it in our fellowship. I want Him to be there when I give the gospel to somebody else. I want Him to burden my heart about it. I don't just want Him. I need Him. I need His presence in my life. Like Moses there with the Israelites, he said, "Lord, we're not moving unless You're going with us." God had briefly stepped away from Israel because of their idol worship. Moses says, "I don't want to go anywhere if You don't go with us." Church, I don't want to go anywhere if God isn't with us. I don't want to have a church service that God isn't part of. I don't want to spend a day of my life away from Him. I just want to do His will more than anything else in this world. I just want to please Him. Where's your heart at tonight? Are you hungry for God? Are you striving to follow after God? Are you hungry for Him? What are you looking for? What do you want? Are you hungry for God? What would God say if He wrote a letter to New Hope Baptist Church? It's been on my heart all day today. Woe is me. How much opportunities have I missed to do what He'd have for me to do?